there's a question about building your brand fully first or networking first to build your brand. And then the question you asked is about, do you...
you have to be very outgoing. You have to be...
Let me tell you, if it was by outgoing, somebody like me should never get gigs. There's a storyteller, I told you, there's a reason for everything. So the story about my life and my journey into being a full-time professional actor and comic and comedian is for a reason. There are so many people that are crowd shy, so many people that are socially awkward. I'm a shy person naturally, although I am not when I have to work. If it's by being outgoing, I know the promotes. Like, I'm one of the worst people when it comes to going out. Like, I don't go anywhere. I only go to the places I need to go to. So I don't just go around aimlessly. I mean, I won't say networking is dependent on the amount of random journeys you make. Now, does it help? Definitely, it helps. For example, I've made contacts by going to specific places. Now, I can't give you enough practical examples. When there are movie festivals to attend, there are film festivals to attend, rather, I plan to attend them. I'm deliberate. Why? You're going to meet a lot of people. When there are premieres happening and you get invited, or you know a friend who is going that can get you an invite, and you're in the industry, ask. Even if you know a film producer, or maybe a new producer, a new director that is not yet that big. Big is also relative now. Send him a DM. Oh, I see you're planning for your premiere. I'm a screenwriter. I won't mind an invite. And they say, oh, nice. No worries. Send me your email. We'll invite you. You know why? You are not only going to that new director's movie at the premiere. You have a chance, a possibility of meeting other bigger, more established directors and actors and anybody in the industry. So going out helps. But I won't say just going to every available place is what's going to make you rise in your career. It doesn't work that way. First of all, someone like me, I don't even go out as often as I would love to. It's good to go out to specific places that are very intentional where you can grow. And when you have time, you can unwind with people. So randomly, once in a while, I send people messages and say, let's hang out. People I've not met before one-on-one. I'm telling you, even in industry, this is something I do. The last person I had a hangout with was a movie reviewer / content creator. I said, I watch your content and I like how you approach movie reviews and all that stuff. He said, thank you, boss. Rafa. I said, then later, you know, we started, you know, we kind of maintained that first greeting. I said, do you mind, you know, meeting me for lunch for, you know, maybe like an hour? Hang out, talk about industry and career. He said, oh, that would be my pleasure. And we chose the place, we exchanged numbers, and that happened. That can happen in some situations. Sometimes you hear that a friend of yours is going to a premiere, he featured in a movie. You can reach out. Do you have an extra ticket? I would like to attend that premiere. It's good. You go there, somebody might see you and say, oh, your face looks like the kind of face we need for our next project. Are you an actor? Bam, right there. And the rest of what we discussed about offline networking. You can rewind later when this program is off to listen to all those specifics about offline networking. So going out is good, but I would recommend, you know, depending on what you are looking for, to at least build some sort of profile. Because if it's just by going out, you can be going out and you have nothing to show about yourself. For example, if you're a makeup artist and you have 3 days, you know, to do anything networking in a week, I would rather you spend maybe 1 or 2 days of your free time creating more makeup looks. An old man, a young person, trying to age before and after. An old person you made younger, a young person you made look older, a fine girl you turned into maybe a witch, a fine man you turned into a wizard, hair extension, eyebrow thickening, scars on the face. Spend 2 days doing that. 1 day, you can use it networking. Now you have pictures to show people randomly when you guys are gisting. You can just, hello, I like your work. Would you like to take a look at my, I'm a makeup artist. Would you like to take a look at my recent portfolio? You know, you can just be bold about it when you have stuff to show. So I would say going out is good, but having stuff to show for yourself is more important because you can go to all the places. the first question they're going to ask you is, oh, what do you do? Look, that networking thing is just a foot in the door. It's like going for a job interview. Now we're back to the job interview where I started from. It's like going for a job interview. You can have first class. The best is going to get you is a foot in the door. A first class does not guarantee employment for anybody. It has never done so, except it's not on merit. The best a first class is going to do is get you a foot in the door for an interview. And then when you now go for the interview, you now have to convince the employer that you are worth hiring and paying the salary you're asking for. That is where you now have to forget your certificate in your folder and drop the knowledge in your head for them to be amazed. So that's why if you have stuff to show, you can go out, be ready, be equipped. We've already gone through all those steps. Like I said, you know, you can listen to it again in the recording. But it's better to have stuff to show. Either it's a monologue, or it's a portfolio for a makeup artist, or it's a showreel for a cinematographer, whatever it is, or a color grading showreel for a colorist, or a video edit showreel for a video editor, anything, or a couple of log lines for a scriptwriter. Don't worry, I said that will be the last in our address. Screenwriters, storytellers, scriptwriters, I will address that at the last part of this conversation. Did I answer your question? Were you able to find anything in there? I think I have one more question to answer. The person that...
The last question, that the first question was, you know, advice, should the person build their brand big first or go all out for networking while still having little or no brand identity?
So, it's interesting because branding is relative. For example, did I brand when I came up with Frank Donga and the interview thing? There was no branding. It wasn't like it was a big branding attempt like that. All I had was the talent and the work to show. You understand? No matter, because these things are relative. What is big in your brand to you now might not be big enough for somebody else. So I will always say, do you brand first? What does this person mean by do I brand first? Maybe if I can understand that question better. Brand in what sense? Like, let me read it again. What do you advise? To build my brand big first? No. But there's nothing like building your brand big or go out all out for networking. So it's 50-50 kind of. There's nothing like building your brand big. No matter how big you have built your brand, you can always build bigger. For example, if you are starting from scratch, how do you build your brand bigger as an actor? You understand? How? If you're a writer, how do you build your brand big? What cinema movies have you written? There are people in this industry that have written 2, 3, 4 movies, 5, 6, 7 movies that have gone to cinema. How did they start? They started with one script. One script was the first opportunity they got. So how do you build your brand big? You can't go all out and build your brand big. You're going to spend a whole lot of energy and money and all that. So it's always good to start small, have something to show for your work. Then you can start networking with that. Start with whatever you have. Don't wait and sit back and say, I won't network until I've built myself big so that people will now be coming to me of their own accord. Well, that comes sometimes, but it only comes in the line of you doing what you love to do. And just keep working. Keep doing what you do. Like all the brands that came to me for sponsored comedy skits, when I started, I didn't go to any of them. I didn't go to network. In fact, not one brand did I go to. They simply saw the skits I did that went viral and they liked my style of skit making and storytelling. You know, they found it unique and they liked it and the wit in it and they reached out. Of course, every time I put a skit out, there's always my Instagram or social media handle burnt into that video. So they would trace the handle, and when they trace the handle and got to my page, there's an email address. There's a phone number that is working, that is ready to receive messages. And I don't joke with it. Before this meeting, this Twitter space, I responded to two emails just before this meeting from people I have not heard from ever before and people I have not heard from in a long time. One of them referred to something I've been working on recently in the social media space and said, we noticed you are doing this thing and you are very passionate about it. There's a client who wants to do something in that respect. Let's talk. You get what I'm saying? So sometimes, just keep doing what you are doing. Put your best in it. I know they say be consistent. I'm reluctant to use that word, consistent, because sometimes people just do it mechanically, just to save face, just to be among, just to feel among. And it's mechanical. It's not fresh. It's not organic. And they put out just anything in the name of let's be consistent. I'd rather, instead of being consistent, I'd rather you put out something unique as often as you can. The last thing I want you to do as a creative is to be bogged down and to be depressed and to feel like you have to be creative. Once you start feeling like you have to be creative, trust me, you're not going to enjoy it. And which brings us back to the beginning. Why do you want to be in Nollywood? If you think you want to go there for the glamour and the money, well, good luck on that. I always recommend you do something for the pure passion and the love. Now, if you have the talent or the gift, beautiful, good for you. Now, if you can learn a few skills in the process, more beautiful. What am I saying? You are a naturally, strikingly unique person. God has given you the gift. Your face looks very unique. Now, notice I didn't say you are beautiful or ugly or handsome or pretty. You have very unique facial features, unique height, and unique presence. Sometimes, being an actor is not about, I be fine girl, make her go in Nollywood. I be fine boy, make her go in Nollywood, I'll make a good actor. No, not necessarily. So even in Hollywood, you feel you have a unique presence. One, you are a good talker, or you can communicate very well. Two, and then you want to be an actor and you've done your showreel. Three, you've tried different characters and different roles, or you are making comedy sketches. Pick a theme or a topic that you like, that you enjoy, and do in that line. You naturally flow. You can't go dry easily because it's something that you enjoy, something you are always about. You sleep it, you eat it, you drink it. If it's food show you are doing, you're making your food content because you naturally enjoy it. You understand? Now, if you feel like I have to do this, and this point we are sharing, the same goes for musicians. If you're a music producer, you're a keyboardist, you play musical instruments, you produce beats, whatever it is, if you're doing it just because you want to hammer, you want to blow, or you want fame, I don't think it's a healthy mindset to go into anything with. So that's my summary for that. Do it for the love and the passion of it. Keep doing it and wait for the opportunity. Don't wait till you are fully blown as a brand before you start networking. No, don't wait for that. There's a big movie director in Nigeria that I got an invitation to come to his movie premiere. I think I was added to their bulk mail or to their mailing list. And I got the mail and I said, oh, this movie, let me go. And I went there with somebody in this forum that is listening to us right now. And we had a good time. Guess what? I got an email months later. They invited me to be in a project. Now, that is networking. It was deliberate. Now, I didn't go because I wanted to be in their project. I went because I was interested in seeing the movie and I got an invite. Oh, beautiful. So they got my invite. They got my email and they sent me an invite. Okay, cool. What was I doing to get the invite? I wasn't sleeping in my house. Neither was that fresh from the university and I just sat in my father's house. No. I had done comedy sketches. I had done movies. I had been working for several years. So that person had noticed me. They had harvested my email address off my social media handles and they put me on a mailing list to inform certain people of their current project. And I got an invite. And guess what? I took a shower, put on some nice clothes, put on some nice perfume, put some mint in my mouth, and I went there. I'm coming back to that mint very soon. I went there. I did the red carpet. I did a few interviews. I went to the person that made the movie. I made a deliberate effort. The person was busy. I made sure that I got to the person that made the movie because he may not have known that they invited me because it was his team that did the work, his media team. But I went to this person to say, congratulations. Thank you for inviting me. Beautiful movie I just watched. Nice, nice. Swell. And he said, Frank, thank you for showing up. I really appreciate you. And then the next thing, man, we need to work together. And I said, anytime, chief, anytime, I'm here for you. And guess what? Down the line, the phone call came. And we were right there working on a project together that finally made it to Netflix. You see what I'm saying? Even people like that have to network on that level. It's just different strokes for different folks. Everybody has a network. You'll be amazed. That is why I have a friend who is going to Cannes Film Festival. In fact, two friends that are going to Cannes Film Festival in France. I also want to go to Cannes Film Festival. It's just that I'm not sure yet if I have the time. I've always wanted to go to Cannes Film Festival. So my friend is going to pitch a movie idea in Cannes Film Festival. And my friend is saying, let's go together. Now, if I want to network in that respect, Cannes Film Festival is where you meet the big names. All right? And if I go with somebody who is going to make a movie pitch, it's easier for me. Do you know, the funny thing is that they might just see my face and say, are you an actor? Oh, we like your facial expression. What do you do? Can I see any of your movies? Bam! Let me tell you a little story. So I had an opportunity to travel to the U.S. a couple of years ago. I landed in the U.S. and I told myself, let me reach California. I want to go to Universal Studios. Why am I going to Universal Studios? I want to see what it's like in a proper Hollywood studio and learn a few things about how they shoot their films, why their movies are always different. So, but while I landed in a part of the U.S. called Texas, the state called Texas. So while I was there, I posted a picture. Ah, Texas, what's up? Your boy's in town. Some of the Nigerian comedians in Texas saw my post. I didn't know they followed me on social media. Of course, I had been doing skits for many years, so they probably had seen my video, they liked my work, and they had followed me, but I didn't know them. So they saw my video, and then they entered my DM. Ah, Baba, we did Texas. More will hang out. More will hook up. I checked them out, the kind of people they were. When you're networking, so you need to do your background check. You know, everything done tough for life. Now you have to be careful, people, where you go. So I did my background check, made a few calls, and I thought, these people are really wonderful people. And then I gave them my address. We did some hangout together. And then I told one of them, I said, I would like to go to California to check out Universal Studios. And they said, oh, nice. We have some Nigerian comedians in California. And then they made a few calls. And two of them said, Frank Gonga is coming to California. Na lie. Na my house, he go stay. The other one said, na lie. Let me go host them. Fast forward, I got to California. And while I was there, one of them, I stayed overnight in his place. Very nice place. And I said, I want to go to Universal Studios. He said, no problem. I'll take you there. But first, let's stop over somewhere. This guy carried me in his car and we were driving. I didn't know where we were going. This is a guy I had never heard of or met before in my life. Everything happened on that trip. And he started driving and we got to one warehouse. I said, what's going on here? He said he wants to see a friend. And then we got down from his car and we pressed the bell and they opened the place. It was a big studio and we entered. And as soon as we entered, on the wall, I saw a picture of Kevin Hart. Ah, I said, it'll be Kevin Hart, but he's written this up. The guy smiled. He said, this is Kevin Hart's studio. I said, eh? He said, this is Kevin Hart's studio at that time. And the next thing, a dude came out to shake hands with us and introduced me to the man and said, this is Frank Gonga, one of our nice guys from Nigeria. You should watch his comedy skits. It's good. I like, you know. And then he looked at me and said, Frank, this is Kevin Hart's content manager for his studio. I just did the open mouth. So we are talking about networking. Don't underestimate the power of just one call, one greeting, one hello, one polite greeting, one hello, I like your work, hello. So see where it happened for me. It was slightly different. I posted something on social media, say, oh, you know, and they saw it and they reached out and we connected, we clicked. And then I told one of them, I would like to go to California. I want to see Universal Studio. And they said, oh, we have two guys there. Our guys are there. Let me tell them. They will treat you nice. And then I did some checks. And then I made a call. I flew on the plane. Boom, bada, boom. I ended up in Kevin Hart's studio. Imagine see Kevin Hart. They passed that day. He just come one pick. Maybe one pick, one cassette. Or one pick DVD for his studio. I just jam him. I take picture. I post them. Everywhere will come boss. Frank Gonga is in Kevin Hart's studio. Waiting this up. They won't do movie together, Annie. The next thing, I no go let the guy rest too. I go there in DM, do the normal. As I do the normal, anything can happen from there. So imagine, you can just be, yo, man, what's up with you? You're from Nigeria? Man, I like Nigerian stuff. From there, young fee happen. Of course, me too, I go there on my Nigerian P, my Indian game. We go young one or two things. Fast forward, anything could have happened. You understand? But don't worry, that's just my projection. Kevin Hart was not in the studio that day. But there I was live in the studio and they were recording a program, blah, blah, blah. You know, so that's what I'm saying. I didn't wait to blow to Kevin Hart's level or become that Hollywood name. I was just doing my thing. And then I was also networking and I saw an opportunity to network with some comedians outside Nigeria. And I went for it. We hung out. We had lunch. We had nice conversation. And one of them just casually drove me to Kevin Hart's studio because Kevin Hart's content manager was his friend. There you have it. I can also go on and tell you how I got my first job in Dubai. I got a job in Dubai as an animator. That's another story for another day. I can't go into it now. It was a big studio in Dubai. I sent them an email. They didn't respond. And then I bought a plane ticket. I went to Dubai for vacation just for 2 or 3 days to relax that time. I been get some small change for that time. I went there, and the second or third day, I took a cab straight to that studio, and there was nobody in the studio, just one man. He was on his way out. It was a Friday. I was surprised, and he said, today is Friday. Friday is like Sunday in Dubai. Nobody comes to work. And I said, oh, my bad. He said, what do you want? It was Indian. And I told him, I'm an animator. I was hoping I can intern with you. Maybe I just told you people that's a story for another day, and I'm already telling you the story. Somebody they use jazz. Oh, yeah. Okay, make Aku finish the story.
I was just about to say that. I said, we already entered the story now.
Anyway, the guy saw me and said, what do you want? I told him, I want to intern with you. I'm an animator. The guy said, really? Where's your showreel? Now, all the things I've shared with you so far, from the very beginning to now, I'm not telling you, I'm not trying to practice what I preach. I'm just preaching what I practice for my life. I'm telling you my life experience. I won't come here and tell you what I've not tried. Everything I've mentioned and I've told you, there are things I've done for the past 11 years in this career. So I told him, oh, yes, I sent an email to the HR. I want to intern with you guys. The guy didn't ask any other question. He just said, do you have a showreel? Have you sent a showreel? I said, yes, I have a showreel. He just brought out his card. He said, send me your showreel. I collected his card, went back to my hotel room, put on my laptop, entered my email, sent him reels to my showreel, my animation showreel. And boom, like that, the guy no answer. He no respond. That's why I told you, sometimes follow up. The guy did not respond. Second day, I didn't hear anything. Third day, I didn't hear anything. I said, see, voila. Then I called somebody very dear to me. I said, the person said, go to the office now. You are in Dubai. You have one more day to spend in Dubai. Don't come back to Nigeria without going to that office. Go and follow up. So I entered cab again, went to the office. And as I was about to get to the office, by the way, the office doesn't have a handle. The doors don't have handles. They have to open it from inside. So if you can be outside and be shouting, nobody will hear you. And you can't open the door. But miraculously, as I was just at the door, so a guest was coming out. I just rushed to the door. And as I rushed to the door, I saw the man that gave me his card that said, send me your showreel. He was inside the office, sitting by the computer. So I saw an old British gentleman seeing the guest out. The Baba, very old Baba, he was holding the door. I just greeted him. By the way, I was well-groomed. I was wearing a nice jacket, nice pair of pants, nice shoes. I was looking like a proper person. I was looking like a human being. I also deal with that later. The man looked at me from head to toe and said, yes, can I help you? I said, oh, yes, sir. I'm here to see so-and-so person. I don't master the Indian guy that gave me his card. I don't cram his name. I called his name like he was my friend from Mumbai. I called his name casually, like, oh, yeah, I'm here to see so-and-so person. Oh, he said, oh, he's right there. As soon as I entered, I said, bro, Nami, you give your card yesterday. He said, oh, I'm sorry. He didn't even check his mail. Do you know what he did? Instantly, he stood up and led me to the HR. As I reached the HR, interview starts. Yes, what can we do for you? I said, my name is so-and-so. I'm an animator. I'm also a big fan of your company. I've seen a lot of the works you've done in animation on this company. I particularly like the work you did for the government of Dubai, UAE, on this particular project. I think it was amazing. The HR looked at me, dropped her pen, and sat back and folded her hands. She smiled and said, oh, really? You love it? I said, yes. I said, excuse me. She said, I also love the one you did for this one and this one. She said, oh, really? I said, by the way, one of your staff, oh, I think he's an incredible animator. He won one competition on a freelance animation website last month. He was the best animator. The woman said, he didn't tell me. I said, no, I know he's a very humble guy, but he's a fantastic animator. He said, oh, really? Wow. You know a lot about our staff. I said, yes, they're very fantastic. You have some of the best hand here. He said, wow, what can we do for you? I said, well, like I told you, I'm an animator. I just want to intern with you here. That's all. She said, in front of me, she picked the phone and called the Emirati boss. And they started speaking Arabic. I don't speak Arabic, but I could follow her body language. She asked me a couple of questions. That one is not today. I already told you too much. Boom, bada, boom. At the end of the thing, she said, start tomorrow. Yes, I was sure. The way you're looking at your phone right now, that's how I was looking at her. Start tomorrow, okay? As in, start tomorrow. I should just start work tomorrow in Dubai. Me, we come from Niger. I don't carry CV. I no carry letter from any governor or anybody. Nothing. Just start tomorrow. Anyway, I'll finish the story some other time when we jam somewhere on the streets. But that's just to tell you that I took a step. I had my shoulder ready with me. I went ahead. I insisted. I followed up. Even after I sent a mail to that dude that said, send me your shuri. He didn't answer. He didn't respond. I took a cab again, went to their office, dressed nicely. So now let me come to the underlining factor for offline networking. When you are going, I mean, I don't intend to sound rude or, you know, condescending to anyone, but it's very good to invest in good perfume. I didn't say expensive perfume, or just very light perfume. Smell good. Put mint in your mouth when you're going to a gathering to talk to people. I mean, these things look like, everybody should know. But, you know, personal grooming is also important. Smell nice. You never know who you have to hug. Smell nice. Make sure if you're sweating, you had a shower before you went there. Wear some clean clothing. If you've eaten suya, shawarma, boli, and granot, those things are very strong odor. You know, carry mint. Carry some nice hot mint. Pour them in your mouth and chew them before you start interacting with people. Wear some nice clothing. And then wear some, just look clean and presentable, well-groomed. If you are not on dread, trim your hair. Make it nice if you're a guy. If you're a lady, make sure your wig stuff is not sticking out. It doesn't look like rat's nest. You know, all these little things. If you're wearing eyelashes, make sure it's not bent to one side and trying to fall off. You know, all those little tips, they can help. You know, and if you are, if you sweat a lot, take a, roll on, all those little, and if you know you're going to be there for a whole day, you want to attend networking session, film festival, 9 a.m., you want to clear all the sessions until 6 p.m. after party, take extra perfume with you, put it in your bag, in your wallet, or whatever you want to put it there. So there are tiny perfumes you can squeeze inside your wallet. Don't go and sit on it though, because if you sit on it in the cinema or in the networking session, the fine smell will just spread everywhere. People will be wondering, who is that? You know, just personal grooming is nice. Personal grooming. And arm yourself with your call card, like I said. Carry your tablet or a nice phone with a broad, large screen that you can use to play your show reel, your show, your makeup work, if you're a makeup artist that does special effects, or you're an editor, or you're an actor that contains your monologue, any of those things. And you are good to go. Be on your best behavior. And I wish you the best.
All right, thank you very much. I think we have two people that I want to ask. So Ellen is going to go first, and then Bamdele.
Hello,
Ellen. Yeah, so just before Ellen speaks, Ellen is one of our, how do I put it? She has just been very consistent, and I really want to just use this opportunity to say thank you to her. She's always joining our space, and she's a vibe. So, Ellen, go on.
Okay. Hi, everybody. And can I just say thank you so much, Mr. Frank, for that lecture you gave us. We've really learned a lot. And building up on that, I'd like to describe my own experience when it comes to networking. Not very long ago, I contacted a very popular film director, or is it producer, over there in Nigeria on Twitter. Most of you probably know that I've written a script and I'm still trying to pitch it. And the reason I contacted her was because I'd heard so much about her, although looking back, I probably should have looked at her work, familiarized myself with her work, because earlier on you did say that it helps to know exactly what this person does when it comes to filmmaking. And I'm not going to lie, I hadn't seen anything she'd made. The only reason I contacted her was because of her reputation. Anyway, I contacted her via Twitter and described details of my script and said I'd like to work with her. No problem with that. But I took it a bit further. And those of you who follow this space would know that when it comes to describing exactly what goes on in Hollywood, I never hold back. Well, I told her, and I didn't name names, but I told her that I admired her for putting her heart and soul into her work, because as you said earlier, it pays to be passionate about what you do in Nollywood. You shouldn't go for it solely for the money or for the fame and recognition. And I agree with that 100%. I really do. And that's exactly what I said to her when we spoke, or rather when I contacted her on Twitter. I told her that too many people out there in Nollywood are only there for the fame and fortune, whereas she's in it because she's passionate. That was what I said. 2 days later, I received a reply from her, which said, Ellen, if you want to work with me in this industry, why are you trashing it? And I said to myself, really? I'm trashing the industry? I'm just saying exactly what goes on. I didn't mention her name, but then I didn't mention anybody's name either. None at all. I just said what people have been saying for ages, that Nollywood is oversaturated with greedy people. Sorry, but it's the truth. And this woman accused me of trashing her. And to be honest, because we have two different opinions, then I don't think there's any point of the two of us working together, which is understandable. But what I like to know is, when you're pitching yourself to somebody who's already established, how far is too far?
Thank you very much, Ellen. First of all, I know Ellen virtually. I've heard her in this space before, so I've heard her, you know, contribute on the space. So again, that speaks to the power of networking. If she were to send me a DM, or if she were to speak somewhere, I would remember that. Oh, I've heard this voice before. I've heard her on this space before. And when you introduced her as a regular on this space, I remembered instantly. So that's another testimony to the power of networking, just being in a space with somebody. And thank you for pointing out the fact that, you know, when you first attempted to reach out to someone, you weren't really familiar with their work, because it's always it creates a soft landing for conversations. You know, you can start from areas of mutual interest. It always helps. So how far is too far, or how? So the truth of the matter is, the creative industry is like no other industry, really. Why? Because we are not selling absolute goods. What I mean by that is, we are selling relative goods. So the worth of your performance as an actor may be really relative in the minds of the audience. There's no yardstick to measure acting in metric form. You can't say a kilogram of acting, this one has 2 kilograms, so he's a better actor. It's all relative. Like they say, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, because these are non-tangible assets that we're selling. As a comedian, your jokes, your sketches are only as funny as how much the audience believe they are funny. So we can't really measure it and say 2 yards of humor in this comedy, or 3 yards of humor. So this one is funnier than that one. It's based on perception, experience, the current mood of the audience, and a whole wide range of factors. So because of that, creatives tend to, you know, we our emotions are tied to our professions. Except you are a craftsman in the industry, like you are a cinematographer, you are a colorist, you are a makeup artist, you are a costume designer, you are an art director. Even at that, tiny bits of this principle I'm about to share also apply. Our emotions are tied to our works. Our feelings are tied to our works. And it becomes incredibly difficult to work with somebody, to put it in modern terms, you don't vibe with. It can become very difficult, because essentially what we're doing is we are playing together. I know we like to see entertainment business or showbiz as business. It is business at a certain level, but it evolved from play. Movies evolved from playing together. The most rudimentary part of movies at the little drama and playlets we acted out as kids when we were young, when we were playing pretend for boys, maybe cops and thieves and robbers, cops and robbers and police and thieves, like we say in Nigeria. I know, and the girls maybe plaiting hair for their dolls. That's the most. So all these things are basic human experiences and feelings. So it's going to be incredibly difficult to detach emotions from our works. If you're a writer, you have a script. You're not going to like it if somebody shreds your work. And that's the place for constructive criticism. Now, if you start off in a wrong note with somebody you want to work with, it might also pose a problem. And that is why I'm happy we're having this conversation. It always helps, first of all, to find out what this person is about. For me personally, I think it helps a lot when you figure out what's this person about, what are the kind of themes they work with. And if you can ask a few questions too, how's this person like? And start easy, smoothly. It helps you to identify potential problems. I'm going to share a little experience with you that I had when I was a wedding photographer. Like I told you when we started, for those who joined very early, I've gone the whole 9 yards. Well, at a point, I was a wedding photographer in my career. And I had this client reach out to me because I had done a wedding photo shoot for a friend of mine. And she wanted me to do her wedding. But the very first set of communication was suspicious. I saw a lot of red flags there. And I felt uncomfortable. So I called my friend and I said, this friend of yours who's reached out because of my work, that's for you. I mean, they saw my work and they liked what I did for you. And they said, we want this guy to shoot our wedding. And they reached out and I said, but this person, why? Tell me about this person or this couple, this particular individual. How are they in real life? Are they very difficult people? Are they easy to work with? Are they very... So that helped me to manage the relationship. That's all I'm going to say about that. So sometimes it helps to get to know people. Unfortunately, sometimes you can catch someone at a bad time. But how far is too far, Helen? I'm not sure if what I said helped you in any measure of my explanation of how far or how much is too much. But if you're asking about being also very opinionated or vocal about an industry, it's also a little bit of human psychology. If you want to play in a team and people start getting the vibes that you may be a difficult person, even if you are not, it might start creating certain discomfort in the minds of people. And the unfortunate thing about entertainment industries, like any other industries, word goes around pretty fast. And you wouldn't want that. So it's all about image management and PR. There's a little bit of PR that we all do for ourselves. Now, this is different from being hypocritical or being deceptive. There's a little bit of PR. It's called putting your best foot forward. There's a little bit of PR we have to do. And if you don't need to really grandstand with someone, if you don't need to allow conflict, if you don't need to allow friction, I would seriously recommend that you avoid friction. Just for the reason that it doesn't help working relationships. But if you do find out in the process of trying to work with someone that they have very strong personalities that you do not find attractive, I also suggest that you give it time. It may be they're in a bad place in their lives at that point. It may be that you are not in a good place yourself and you're misjudging the situation. It must be that both of you are not the right places at your lives at that point. Or the things are not just aligning for both of you. It may be that. But then again, like I said, sometimes I can't go into too much details of what I have had to overlook in my career so far myself. Sometimes if I had to complain about everything that I rightfully should have complained about or should have pointed out, it may create a certain outlook that I won't like. But that's not to say that you have to take anything thrown at you. No, no, no. You can be emphatic, you can be firm, you can... There are people who stand firmer on their decisions than I do, and I do more than other people do. We're all different as human beings. But it's very important to to understand people you want to work with, and it's very important to make sure that you are able to enjoy each other's company, because filmmaking is a very tedious process. It's very demanding financially, emotionally, physically. Everything Kali is very demanding, and it's a piece of creativity that you're putting together. It's not like constructing a house. Now, whether you like the architect or not, if you put two blocks on top of each other, according to the specification of the architect, you're going to get the drawing. No, it's not like that in filmmaking. If the actor is not vibing with the director, it can create problems on set. If the scriptwriter, it's even easier as a scriptwriter, to be honest with you. If you write a story and the director likes the story, even if the director does not like you, they might pick up your story and, you know, license and ask you for the license or the partnership to produce it. So I'm not sure if I hit the mark with Ellen. You want to confirm, Ellen? Ellen, if you hit the mark at all?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, be careful so people don't think you're difficult to work with.
Well, basically, but at the same time, that does not mean that you have to bootleg or cower in front of everybody or be, you know, no, that's by no means saying that. It's just there's a little bit of PR that we all do for ourselves, for our personal brands. And it's also very important to figure out or find out the kind of people you want to work with, because it's going to be difficult to work with anybody you don't vibe with. Or if somebody has an off-putting attitude and you start off on the wrong note, it might affect your relationship and by extension the project.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much.
Good day, everybody. First and foremost, I would like to appreciate Mandanga. I'm one of his biggest fans. Not because he's doing comedy, but you know, when you're a leader, you're just a leader. He's been a mentor to a lot of guys, and he's touching life, and he has done that again tonight. This is free consultation, not for people that want to join Hollywood alone, or people that want to join entertainment. What he dished out today, it's a content that is valid, that is useful in any field. And I've done some of these things before, and it has worked for me. So quickly, I will just introduce myself. I'm a medical doctor, in public health field, but I'm interested in entertainment, in creative works, in culture. So I follow stuff like this. And that is why I follow Randonga in particular, because, you know, he has this fast knowledge and experience, and he can delve into a lot of things. Recently started talking about agriculture now. So, and you can see before now, it was how to really educate our teeming masses during the election. So I keep following him, and it's a loaded content. So I really appreciate you, because you are not doing it for the money alone or for the fame. You see, you are teaching a whole lot of people on how to live life, how to make it in life, and this is what you've done again. I can go on and on, really, because our society, we are bereft of leaders, of people that really want to make people grow. Look at all those practical examples that he has done. Some people want to keep it to themselves. Don't let me teach people to make use of it, and it's telling us. So I would say thank you. Now, personally, like I said, I love entertainment, and I've been looking at it. How can someone really that is not into entertainment, or that is somebody in a different profession, can really enter into entertainment? You know, when you feel you have one or two things to contribute, either in the intellectual aspect or even in the acting part, and you see, I have a lot of friends I've discussed with that are doing great things. And let me quickly say again that it's one lovely guy on this Twitter space. That is KBC. You can go and look at his profile too. He's doing something great and marvelous. And there are a lot of guys like that. So someone like me that is not in entertainment, but I keep following you guys and feel that there is one or two things you can contribute. How can one get into it? It doesn't have to be purely medical, you know, or health. It could be something else, you know. How can one do that? Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bangdele. You said you're a medical doctor, and that's really impressive that you're interested in the arts. I mean, it's the beautiful thing about the entertainment industry or showbiz is that you can literally come from other fields. And I myself, I'm not gonna lie, I mean, I have a master's degree in animal genetics, and here I am today. So it's a beautiful melting pot of people from different aspects of the society. Very quickly, I would say for someone in your line of work, you have a strategic advantage. Medical series, medical contents are very easy things that you can dabble into. I don't think we have enough of it in Nigeria, in Nollywood especially, and even internationally. That's why you have the most famous medical series in Hollywood. They're very popular. Medical shows. So when I say Nollywood, I don't want us to restrict our thinking to movies and series. It could be short films. It could be shows. It could be sitcoms. It could be reality TV shows. It could be anything entertaining. For example, I identify as an entertainer. Why? Because I discovered that the kind of content that gives me the most joy are contents that have a flavor of education, you know, attached to it. And I love education. I love to learn. I love to read. And if I can combine those two things, education and entertainment, and be an entertainer, I really love it. And that's what I've done over the years. So you can find what makes you really happy. I've always said this, and I'll keep saying it. Entertainment is really demanding because it's like you're giving a piece of your heart, a piece of your soul to the audience every time you create. That's why it's so important to make sure, first of all, you eat right, you exercise, you sleep right and well, you rest well, so you can create and be in good health, because it's very demanding. The process of creation, it's like you are a deity yourself. You are creating. There's something spiritual about it. You are putting materials together to birth something unseen before. It existed only in your mind. Even if you're a dancer, there are dance steps that you felt in your head, you saw in your vision, in your head, and you transferred or you translated to movements, and now we can watch you do it. So it's a very intimate process. So for somebody like you or other people who come from other fields, just find something that resonates with you, something you really enjoy, something you are concerned about, something you are passionate about. Start from there. For me, starting from my interest in job interviews, that's how I came into the game. As a journalist then, I was a broadcast journalist. I worked for a TV station, and I found out about unemployment in Nigeria. And I was so disturbed by it. Like, how come so many people are unemployed? I found some answers. And the answer was, one of the answers I found was that people are not employable. Why? HR people said, well, for a variety of reasons. So I started investigating, and I started discovering so many gaffes at job interviews. I decided to turn that into a comedy series where I became the butt of the joke. I studied so many people and reactions, families, friends, and from my personal experience. And to be honest with you, at the early stage of my comedy, I wasn't really acting. Yeah, I know it was performance, but it was based on real life experience. I was just acting out the thoughts in my head. I could have written a book with those points I wanted to tell people, that when you go for a job interview, find out about the CEO of the company, find out how many branches they have around you, find out, check out their website. That was how I started. And I made those points into comedy sketches. I wrote them down, performed them with my friends, just two of us, three of us rather. And boom, episode 2, it had gone viral. Just three of us. Mohammed Atta behind the camera, Femi Bangbetan asking me the questions. By the way, the very first 2 episodes of the interview that I shot in 2012, I had performed it before I wrote the dialogue for the interviewer. So I recorded my part first, then I wrote the question for the interviewer, then I recorded that the second day, then I edited it together. That's just some background information for you in case you're interested. So it come from a place of passion or curiosity. Now, if you like to tell stories, someone like you, I'm going to lean a bit to the medical side. Like I said, you see situations in the hospital. You see how patients, sometimes the goofy ones, the clumsy ones, you ask them A, they're saying B. not because they are in a poor medical state, but maybe just because that's the way they are, or the clumsiness of things that happen in the hospital, or the near disastrous experiences you had. You can put that into short series. You might make it a Twitter thread. You can start from there. You can write points out and give it to a screenwriter friend of yours who's going to flesh it out and make it into a comedy series, a drama series, and from there it can grow into a feature film or go into a bigger Netflix series or something like that. If you want to act, it's a bit different. Acting is all about convincing the audience that you are a character you are not. It's like advanced lying. I'm sorry. That's a little bit of... It's an art. It's an artistic form of advanced lying. We have to make you guys believe that we are what we are not. For example, if I'm in, if I'm given a mean character, I have to act vicious. I have to act ruthless. And I have to be convincing. Now, I can't do it alone. I'm going to do it primarily with the help of the scriptwriter or the screenwriter. He has to write the dialogues for me. He has to write the story for me. I'm going to read it and embody that character. Now, the makeup department have to make me look ruthless. They have to make me look vicious. They have to make me look terrible, wicked. I can't do that by myself. Now, the costume department have to give me the outfit to match my looks. Well, in some situations, I have to work with the producer or the director. Maybe I need to buff up, add a few pounds, go to the gym, like Will Smith did for his role in Ali, playing Muhammad Ali. People do that. So we're trying to convince you that we are people we are not. And the more convincing you are in your looks, in your delivery, with your performance, with your speech and silence, with your quietness and action, is the better it is. We're just trying to convince you inside a box that we are people that we may not be like in real life. Now, if you are lucky, that character is not too far from who you are. You are really not just going too far in acting. So that's it. You have to maybe take a few classes. There are people who give classes on that. Maybe pick a mentor, somebody who's acting you admire and somebody you believe can coach you, give you a few tips and give you a few classes, hands-on. Maybe read a few books. Maybe join an online community of actors or student actors, or go for physical classes. All those can happen. Sometimes, you know, you might need to go for a serious course if you want to get into Nollywood or an entertainment industry. For example, you want to be a video editor. You love the way movies are cut or edited. You need to. That's more serious than technical. Like I told you, I started from Final Cut. Then I went to Adobe Premiere. Then I picked up After Effects. Now then I worked a bit with Cinema 4D and Maya. Then I went to DaVinci Resolve for color correction. And, you know, I still edit up to now. I still edit every single day, if possible. I edit on Premiere Pro. And, yeah, pretty much. I did that for a living for many years. So that was serious. I had to watch tons of tutorials online. So it depends on what part of the industry you want to go to. You may go from just picking a mentor or going for online classes to go for intense trainings, like in color grading or cinematography, where you have to understand everything about the physics of the camera, working with light and shadows, working with dynamic range, working with the camera sensor, you know, working with aspect ratios, working with recording formats. And I can go on and on with about the physics and the engineering of cameras and what time of day to shoot. If you want to go into directing, you have to understand storytelling. First of all, why do you want to tell the story? Who cares? The same thing applies to writers. So sometimes when people tell me, I'm a writer, how can I get my foot in the door? The first thing I tell them is you need to have your log lines ready. Write your stories in your privacy, but have your log lines ready. You need to know what log lines are. The best description I can give you of the log line is when you want to watch Netflix, you see that two lines, those two lines they write under the trailer or the poster of the movie on your screen, explaining what the movie is like, is the shortest description of a movie. In like a line or two. Summarize your entire story into one sentence or two that anybody who watches it, who reads it, can decide if they're interested in it or not. It gives you an idea of what the movie is about, and I can decide if it's something I would like to hear more of, read more of, or watch more of. So that's the log line. So, sort of, in my description. So if you're a writer, you need to have your log lines ready. If you want to write a story, you should first of all ask yourself, would I watch this kind of movie? Why do you want to write an epic story? about a Nigerian boy about 400 years ago living in a village. Why do you want to write that story? What's interesting about the character? Why do I care? Why do you want to write a story about a Nigerian hustler who migrated or emigrated to the US and found himself on the street of New York struggling to survive? Why would I care about that? Why will the audience need to? Why would anybody be interested? Ask yourself that question, and that will guide you, you know, as a scriptwriter. As a makeup artist, the same thing. Am I interested in making people look scary, fine, horrific, different in movies? Do I have the skill set? Do I have the funds to buy the materials? Can I go for training? So all these things, you know, they're very difficult questions to answer in one sentence, like I'm attempting to do right now. But starting off has to start from a place of passion. What really interests you? Start from there. What would you like to watch? What do you like to see? Yeah.
Place of passion.
Oui, monsieur.
So, the final speaker, Yomi.
Good evening, I guess, on your end. Uncle Donga, it's a privilege once more to hear your voice and, you know, milk from your wealth of knowledge. I've learned a lot. We can never know it all. So I'll be speaking from an actor's point of view. Throughout my stay in Nigeria, it's been quite an experience. And hearing your own, getting to have like a background of your journey so far, it's been inspiring. And from my own deduction, I would say yours has been, would the word serendipity be apt to qualify what really happened to you? Because you were not really, you know, it wasn't a do or die affair for you. You were doing it out of love, you know, passion for the arts, your craft, and all of a sudden, like you said, from the blues, you went viral, and not the virus in your context. So, but for me, who, you know, I actually studied this thing, you know, from Belen Alosi, I'll be an actor, you know, and went to school, studied theater and films at the University of Port Harcourt, and, you know, talking about networking, I feel, you know, I have met the wrong set of people, because like Ellen, I could understand a point of view. You know, it's a dog-eat-dog situation in our country, you know, as against Hollywood, where you have SAG, you know, the Screen Actors Guild that looks out for the welfare of actors in that union. You know, I see the clear difference, you know, but back then in Nigeria, you meet people who want to use you. And in as much as we talk about trying not to be money conscious, trying not to seek fame and all that, but at some point in your career, you now realize that, man, you need these monies for upkeep. If this money does not come, how do I get this, you know, good clothes, you know, good wardrobe, you know, buy the mint, buy nice perfume, not expensive, as you rightly put it. You know, at some point you become, you know, you are broke. And to me, it wasn't a side hustle for me. It's what I studied, what I was passionate about, you know. Even when parents were like, let's open a laundry business for you, it gets as it did to me. Like, this is what I was born to do. So I really did not understand whatever every other person was saying, you know, as regards getting a side hustle. Now, I want to ask you, you know, at what point were you now putting like real value to your craft, you know, to what you give out? Because then, talking about branding too, at what point were you now conscious of all this? Was it from the onset, or it got to a point, were you ever used? That's my question. And at what point did you begin to, how do I coin this question now? Like, now you, people, your clients now interface with your management and not, you know, you directly, you know, because at some point, you now realize that you're giving too much and there is really no result. And, you know, passion without, you know, money to fuel it, is it gets frustrated at some point. We are humans, you know, and you see some of your works. Currently, I see one of my works on Amazon here in Las Vegas. I watch it almost every day. I'd be like, Omo, they don't pay me for this job, really, you know. Out of the same, still talking about in the spirit of networking, you network with people, but they make you, as an actor, I believe there are actors in this room, they make you feel like they are doing you a favor. They're doing you a favor. So I kind of relate with what Ellie was saying. The system is really broken. It's porous. So, you know, people do what they like because they know you can't sue them. You can't sue them. I hope you understand what I I'm trying to say. I guess that's my question. Thank you, Okudonga.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Mr. Yum. You've asked the it's a loaded question, and it's a tricky one because again, so I'm going to be honest with you. Anywhere in the world, in any entertainment industry, like I said, that's why I told you that we're not selling absolute tangible goods, except you're a craftsman. Even that, it's not totally, absolutely tangible or measurable. For the fact that, like I said, even if you're a video editor, you might edit a video a certain way, and somebody will say, another person's edit of the same video is better than yours. Hence, they want to pay that person better. Perception. So we deal with a craft or a profession that's heavily based on perception. Two people may not have the same appeal to the same audience. Unfortunately, that's the way it is. There's nothing to measure who's better or who's worse. It's actually, you know, we can use certain principles to, you know, to say this one might be a bit more satisfying than that one, but intrinsically, there's no scientific measure, way to measure satisfaction or value or appeal of the kind of job we do. Have I ever been used? Oh, yes, everybody would have been used at any point in time. It's not... It now depends on what you consider as being used. And this is why I always advocate that people start from the area of passion. So something you can do for free that you won't even mind not getting paid, that makes you happy, that your mission solely, your first reason for doing what you're doing is not because of money or reward. It's a good place to start. Now, when I started my comedy sketches, I started the comedy sketches because I had a message to send. I had a story to tell. Not because I wanted people to clap for me or because I wanted to go viral. In fact, as far as I was concerned, being a very shy person in real life, I felt my secrets were safe on YouTube, that nobody was probably going to see the videos anyway, until I discovered they had gone viral. Like I said, I couldn't understand what was going on. And it became a problem for me. I'll be on the road. People will be saying, that's the guy. They'll be pointing at me. I'm like, what? Who? Me? I'm like, yeah. What did I do? The interview. I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay. Up to now, I still feel somehow about it. I'm always pleasantly surprised when people stop me on the road or they wave at me in traffic. You know, or at events, I want to take a picture. I don't take it for granted. I'm always shocked every time. Like, wow, blast it. How did you see my work? Then I have to remind myself, dude, come on. Yeah, Netflix. That feeling is never going to go away. I mean, it's humbling. It's humbling that you can do something in your corner and one part of the world, and somebody else from another part of the world can see and like your stuff. So, yes, at a point in time, you may have that experience where you feel you are not rightfully compensated for what you think you have done. And it's not only about entertainment, the entertainment industry, it happens everywhere. You know, even if you're a doctor, like we have a doctor in the house now, the first job you get, you may feel, I'm such a brilliant doctor, I should get more than this. But they tell you, look, this is what the clinic can afford. This is what the hospital can afford. These are the working hours. It's crazy, but look, that's all we've got. Now, it now depends on you whether you want to take it because that's all you've got for now and you intend to build a portfolio or a profile. And let's face it, sometimes in life when you're just starting out in anything, not just acting, you need to build a profile, you need to build a portfolio, a body of work, you need to build a CV, even in the corporate world. Even if you're a tech bro, you need to build some apps for people to see. You need to build a couple of websites. You need to manage a couple of products for people to say, oh, what have you done? Everybody's going to ask you. So sometimes there's that internship period. There's that planting period. It happens in every career where you may have to sacrifice and put in a lot for, and you may. It's not compulsory, but it may seem as though you are getting very little in return or as a reward. And those are the parts of the career that suck. Look, I'm going to be honest with you. I've even asked Frank Donga. I've been offered some very shocking amounts of money for a movie role that was going to cinema. I couldn't believe it. In fact, this particular day, my friend was driving. My phone rang. I picked the call. It was a call for a job. I put it on speaker because I was in a car and I didn't want to, you know. For some reason, I just picked it on speaker. My friend was driving. And we talked and I heard the role. I said, what's the role about? Can you send me an email? As a matter of principle, I don't even ask. I don't talk about fees. That's strictly for my manager to do. Again, that comes later in terms of putting structure. I'm going to ask your second question first before I go to the first one where you're asking me, was I deliberate? Was I this deliberate with the manager, with the structure from the beginning, or it happened later because of serendipity? So I'm going to ask the second question first. So that is my answer to the second question. Yes, sometimes you may feel used. It's not really that you have been used. It's just unfortunate that the way life is designed sometimes, if people don't see the value immediately in front of their noses, they might not offer a commensurate reward. And it's not peculiar to acting, all right? It comes with every other career. People will say, what have you done before? How valuable are you? And even when you are well established and you have work to show, your value is as much as the person that wants to pay you is seen. I mean, if you want to be a compere for an event, an MC, you know, especially in this part of the world, things are still getting shaped. We're not there yet. We are growing. We don't have as developed a system in our industries like you have in Hollywood and some other parts of the world where you have the guilds that protect, you have very strong lawyers, entertainment lawyers and contracts and laws and, you know, things that protect you and that guide. They have minimum entry-level qualifications and working conditions, working hours, standards, remuneration, compensations. Contracts. You get residuals. One quick story. I heard Will Smith, after he did Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, in his teenage years, he signed a contract, successful sitcom. Later, when he became a much more famous and established A-list actor, and they wanted to relicense Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, they had to pay him again, all over again, because the contract had expired and they couldn't use that thing. I mean, the kind of contract they signed, that is. They had to pay him fresh millions for doing nothing extra for Fresh Prince of Bel-Air series, the sitcom series. He got paid all over again. As long as that sitcom is showing, depending on the contract, again, like I said, depending on the contract he signed, for as long as that sitcom is being relicensed to different networks, he's going to get paid till he dies, till the end of his life. He's going to make money till... And that's one major disadvantage in this part of the world, that we're still developing. We're not there yet. We need to get there. But then again, there's so many factors involved, you know. So there is that planting season. So you now have to make the decision yourself. I did it when I was starting off. There were jobs I did that the money wasn't all that, but I did it because I wanted to put myself out there. In fact, there's a backstory to the interview series and Frank Donga, the character, that I won't mention now, but like I said, it's also, you know, sometimes you have to do it. I did it for the passion, not because I thought I was going to become a rich, famous actor. No, that wasn't my mission, you know, but then money or reward wasn't my intention that time. I did it for the love of the message I wanted to send, and for the fact that people were saying, oh, we're learning something from this, we like it. I just said, okay, cool, if you guys like it. Even when I wanted to stop, why I did, funny enough, when I tell people I only did 14 episodes thereabouts of the interview series, people said it's not possible. It feels like you did like 1,000 episodes. Yes, I know, because people keep, those times the videos kept coming up in social media spaces. So, yes, so if you do it with that, but not everybody has that luxury, like you mentioned. You studied it in school. But then again, like I studied, like I have a master's degree in animal genetics. There are so many options open to me. It doesn't mean I have to necessarily do recombinant DNA and cloning. No, I could consult. I could sell animal health products. I could teach. So there's so many things in the process of going to school to study this thing that you can start with while you now build your profile as a working actor. You get what I'm saying? So there's this, excuse me, there's a slight difference there. But I do understand what you're saying, and I get your point. So many people study theater arts in school. But again, from school, there are so many subdivisions of theater arts that you can take up as a job while you try to create your portfolio. Because you know that acting is very, acting as a career is very fluid. And it, like I said, the result is subjective. I mean, I liked Quentin Tarantino's work. I like Steven Spielberg's work. There are some other actors and some other directors that people will say, I don't like his movies. It doesn't mean they are not good. It's just that it's very subjective. Comedy, too, is very subjective. Some stand-up comedians, some people say, I don't find him funny. Some sketch comedians, some audience will say, I don't find this person funny. It doesn't mean they are wrong, or it doesn't mean they are right. Yeah, this is very subjective. So to break into the business of acting, now this is where now we have to talk about talent management, something that I think we desperately need to develop in Nigeria. Talent management, we need to do a lot to talent management. I'm not going to lie. There's a lot that we need to do to talent management. Talent management in more developed societies, they have companies who understand your ability. They will ask for where you want to go, how far you want to go. And if they need to groom you, they will. And they will begin to look for roles that fit you, roles that you can do successfully. Even with all of that, it is still very subjective. I'm going to give you a very practical example. There's a guy called Keanu Reeves. Fantastic person. I like him. Not just because of his acting. I like him. I just like him. I've always liked him from the days of The Matrix. Keanu Reeves is one of the most bashed actors in Hollywood. Grew up partly in Canada. Spent a great deal of time in the US. Went into acting, I think, in his early days of teenage days. Fumbled here and there, you know, had a lot of misses. One of the most critiqued actors in Hollywood. He was seriously bashed. You can watch his biopic or his profile, read up about him. Seriously bashed. Almost everything he did was just badly reviewed. He does also happen to be in a lot of, not unlucky movies. I won't say poorly made movies. Unlucky movies. Because sometimes your movie can be really well made. It was just released at the wrong time. And people didn't fancy that style of storytelling at that point in time. Again, like I'm saying, it's very subjective. Anyways, Keanu Reeves, you know, did a couple of movies that were just there as per box office results. Now, that has an effect on an actor because no matter how good a story is, no matter how good a director is, no matter how creative, no matter how beautiful the cinematography, the sound design, the production design is, ultimately, the success of any business in showbiz is in the hands of the audience. The quality of your joke or the success of your joke is in the hands of the audience that clap. If they decide not to clap, that joke is a flop at that point. You may tell it to a different audience and they will die for that joke and they will be on the floor rolling from table to table. You'll be pulling people out from under the table. Some people will be passing out because they can't breathe. They're laughing so hard. But look, it's ultimately in their hand. If they decide for whatever reason that they find that joke or say offensive and they're not going to clap, that's the end of that joke. There's nothing you can do. It doesn't mean you're not good at the joke or you're not delivering it right. It just simply means the audience, the wrong audience or the wrong time, whatever. So sometimes too, I want to cut some producers a slack and some studios. Sometimes they only have so much they can take from the audience. Sometimes an industry is not that developed yet. They can't project so high because they know the number of people that can come to the cinema. They are limited by screens, limited by theaters. They are limited by the economy of the country. For example, the US used to make a killing in box office in America. They could afford to make a movie with $50 million. They'll probably make $150, $200. Good for them. But then they needed to expand and then realized that Asians were watching movies a lot. So what did they do? They started infusing Asian actors in their movies and they started getting funding from Asian countries. Hence, box office in the US was no longer just local box office. It became international. So movies will be released in America and will be released where? In China. And it was big business. So they had to evolve. They started taking loans from studios in China, infusing Asian actors, and they had to tweak their scripts. There's a whole backstory to this. If you want to check it out online, you can Google it. They had to start tweaking their stories to meet the specifications and the standards of this funding Asian partners and the infuse Asian actors. And then they had to go and release the movie in Asia. Sometimes some movies, we have Asian version. Kung Fu Panda had his own Asian version. Kung Fu Panda, the animation. He had an Asian version. A lot of American films had Asian versions because of certain cultural differences. So ultimately, showbiz is about partly about business too. So the acceptability of an actor and the success of a movie is dependent on the audience. Now, having said all of that, that may inform the decision of how much to pay an actor, how much to spend on a movie. And, you know, that can go in any direction. Having said all of this long story I've bothered you guys with, sorry for that long story. At the end of the day, it's still dependent on the value the movie makers place on the actor. It's still dependent on the value. But again, there are two things I want you to take from this long, volatile answer I'm giving you. You know what I mean? One, build your profile. If you get an opportunity, take it. I did it in my time. If I see an opportunity, sometimes I look at the fees are terrible, but I'm like, you know what? There's a very famous movie that I was in. I was called to be in. I'm not going to mention the name of the movie, but some of you can probably guess. I got a call to be in the movie. I got the closed audition for the movie. I went and did an audition. I think they liked my performance because everybody was very excited when I was doing my thing at the auditions. But guess what? When it was time to talk about the fees, I couldn't really talk about the fees. The fees didn't look exciting for me. And I made a call. I called back and I said, look, is there a wiggle room for these fees? Can we negotiate? The person at the other end of the phone was very blunt, said, no, that's it. That's the offer. You either take it or no. I'm like, whoa. Now, this is me having gotten my portfolio, having gone viral in Nigeria and beyond, having become sort of like a household name, kind of. I thought I had bargaining power. No, they told me. But guess what? For the first time in my career, I was invited to be part of a movie that was being run by a collective. I saw four different companies in our movie industry, which was practically unheard of at that point in time. Four different movies, a production studio, a TV station, a film scripting and scouting company, and a film rental, and an equipment rental studio. Four companies came together to make a movie. And I said, Omo, this movie is going to bang. My character looks cool. I feel the character. I enjoy it. Then, man, I just felt, look, I'm going to take a chance. It's like the story I told you about me finding myself in Kevin Hart's studio in California. It was just a friend that picked me up one day and said, you know what? Let me stop over. I want to say hi to a friend. And we ended up in Kevin Hart's studio in California. We're like, what are we doing here? This is Kevin Hart's picture on the wall. At that point, if Kevin Hart had popped out of his office and said, yo, man, what are you doing in my studio, man? You're from Nigeria? How about we make a movie together? You know what? Like some Nigerian foods and put some Nigerian vibes, you know? I'm probably going to say, Baba, let's run this thing. I won't even talk about money at that point. I'm going to be like, bro, let's make it happen. Because at that point, I'll probably be thinking, Omo, let me just do this movie and get one more feather in my cap. So you see where I'm coming from. I'll probably put the opportunity first before I now start thinking, okay, look, how much is this? Because again, you start thinking, okay, once I can do this, then my next job, I can negotiate better. Then the next one, I can negotiate better. So sometimes you look at it from that perspective. But yes, sometimes it happens that way, that you feel you're not paid well for what you're worth. I think I answered the two questions. Did I answer the two questions?
Yeah, boss. You've answered everything. Just wanted to know, which I think you've mentioned by passing, at what point in your career you started, interfacing with your management, or you kept interfacing with them? That was all.
I had it all planned from the beginning. I had it, to be honest with you. I knew I had it. I felt, look, if I do this first hit and something happens, I kind of thought about it at the back of my head. I just didn't know it was going to happen that quickly. I mean, it's not everybody that gets the opportunity to go from a comedy sketch on YouTube to the big screen in cinema. Like, I went straight from comedy sketches on YouTube straight to cinema. I only made one stop on a TV movie that didn't even come out until I was already doing cinema films. That's unusual. Even by Nigerian standards, it's unusual. But then, I kind of, at the back of my head, knew the kind of projects I would do and the kind of projects I would probably not do immediately. I kind of had a blueprint in my head. I was ready for it mentally. And this is where I always say, always know what you will do. Always prepare mentally. Prepare. Have a blueprint for yourself. And then we need talent managers. Talent managers can tell you, okay, you need to grow. I mean, I'm sure Will Smith had a whole team. I've heard Will Smith's name so often on this project, maybe because he's one of the people I studied early in my career. Will Smith went from the funny, good-looking dude in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air to Men in Black. He did Ali, he did iRobot, he did, you know, fantastic sci-fi movies. So, look, I'm sure they kind of worked on him and started telling him, look, you can't be doing all the slapstick sitcoms anymore. You need to start, you know, working on your look, grow your beard, bulk up a bit, go to the gym. It was deliberate. So we need to get there in Nigeria. But yeah, I kind of had that blueprint at the back of my mind. And it's also influencing the kind of jobs I'm taking now.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Frank. In fact, a lot of things have been said today, and today's session has been really explosive. So thanks for joining us. Remember, Film Joint. We've actually closed our submission for films. We closed the 31st of March, and if you submitted your films, you would have gotten your mail if you were selected or not. And remember, 6th of June, we are going to premiere the top 5 movies at the Ebony Life Cinema. So it's going to be an event. So join us if you can. The ticket sales are going to be up soon. So thank you very much, guys.